Father, you're worthy. You're worthy today, Jesus. You're worthy today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we praise you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. I remember approximately a year ago doing about what I'm doing right now, maybe a little bit more than that. And I opened service just like I'm opening the service right now. And there was something that came very, very strong into my spirit, and I feel that same way right now. I feel like that there's a anxiety. Anybody ever dealt with anxiety? And I feel like that there is a anxiety in the air that none of us have ever experienced in all of our lives. Sometimes it's one of those things where it's as if the Bible talks about men's hearts failing them for fear. It seems like everywhere you go, there's this underlying tormenting spirit that all of us are dealing with, myself included. And it's not just that we hear it on TV and we hear it around the dinner table or we hear it wherever we go in the marketplace. But there's signs all around us. And the signs that are all around us are those things that I believe that's propagated in the pits of hell. Now, years ago, I heard this, and I need to go back and listen to it again. Many of you will be familiar with this. And years ago, there was this commentary on the television, his name just totally slipped my mind. I had it right in front of me. But, Bobby, you're the one that brought this to my attention most recently, and that was about 6 months ago. But years ago, and you'll remember this when I say it. You're going to have to think now. There was this commentary person on the radio and television, and he done this way back in the 60s, somewhere along through there, 70s along through there. And Paul Harvey, I'm getting it. Thank you, Sherry. Paul, I knew you'd get there. And he had this commentary, and he says, if I was the devil, you remember giving that to me, Bobby? And if I was the devil, and you go through there, and Paul Harvey does this thing, I was wanting to say J. Vernon McGee, but he's a Bible teacher. But anyway, on this, he says, if I was the devil, this is what I would do. And listening to Paul Harvey do that commentary, and this was 50 years ago or 40 years ago, however long it was. And the very thing that you hear Paul Harvey say on that particular commentary is the very thing that we see happening in front of us even right now. If you look into the scripture, the Bible's very plain in several places about this whole issue of anxiety. Anxiety is probably in America right now at a level 10 plus. And when you get to that place, everything around you is like sinking sand or sand between your toes, sand under your feet. And it seems like that one of the things that the enemy is trying to do in the church as well as in the world today is to fill our lives with fear. I remember talking to Kay about this, and one of the things that she put as an acronym or acrostic is fear is like false evidence. She's helping me preach. False evidence. I'm trying to hear you. I promise you're helping. False evidence appearing real. And that is the thing that the world and the devil is trying to do right now, is trying to take our minds off of God and put our minds on everything that is around us. Several things comes to my mind. First of all, the first thing that comes to my mind is this. There was a builder that went out to build. course, the Bible says he counted the cost and he's seen how much it was going to cost him to build the house. And he actually determined in his own heart if he had enough material, if you will, to build the house. And then you and I today, when we start on this journey serving the Lord, we really, in all reality, don't really know when we start on this journey everything is going to cost us. But we start on faith. The Bible reminds us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, reminding you and I today, even though the hounds of hell are yelling in our ears and yelling in our face and yelling on our TV of how horrible and how terrible and how everything is just, let me use the term like this, just going to hell in a handbasket. And this enemy is screaming at us. And everything we hear right now is fear tactics of hell. That's the title of my message. Fear tactics of hell. Because the devil's doing everything he can. Hey, he's working within the confines of his job description. I told you that a year ago. What is his job description? The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10, the latter part of that. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So here's the thing. We think about this thing called fear. Fear is a horrible thing. I've talked about fear in the pulpit before. Fear is one of those things that keeps you up at night. Fear is one of those things that keep your eyes wet with tears because of the unknown of the next 20 minutes of your life. And you sit around and we've witnessed this and we've experienced it. And if you've not experienced, praise God, you're one of the most blessed people that's on the face of the earth. But there have been times in my life because of the uncertainties of the things around me. I read yesterday in preparation for the other two messages I was going to preach that I'm not preaching. That when Peter, it's in the book of Mark, I'm not going to turn there, I'm going to tell you about it. When Peter and James and John and the disciples was with Jesus and there was a great boisterous of a storm that came up. You know the story as well as I do. I mean, the seas was rough, the storms was rough. He was telling them, hey boys, looky here. If you're going to follow me, there's going to be things in your life that's not always going to be smooth sailing. But we've got to count the cost. And we've got to know without shadow of a doubt that the end of this journey is well going to be worth it. At the end of the journey, when all is said and well and done, you know without shadow of a doubt that it's all going to be worth it. When Peter, I was reading that, and Peter was there and the seas, he was looking at the circumstances and he was looking at the seas and he was looking at the waves. I've never been out in the midst of the sea at night, 3 a.m. in the morning or so, when the waves was really getting it. You know what I mean? I was watching this here crab show yesterday morning just for a few minutes. They were, you know, where they catch crabs, the snow crabs. When you sit down and you eat crab meat, and somebody went to a great, great, great risk to put that on your plate. I promise you that. But I was watching these vessels, and these vessels was going 30 feet in the air, and then they were sinking below the sea, and they was going like this. And how many of you ever felt like that? Can it be honest? The year 2020 has felt like that. It has felt like one day you were riding high, one little thing happened and pulled the rug out from under you, and before you knew it, you're at the very bottom. No doubt in my mind when I think about this, Peter and those disciples was there and they were looking at Jesus, or thinking about Jesus anyway, and they were thinking, man, he's going to let us die. He's going to let us perish. He's going to let us die right here and right now. How many times in 2020 have we been filled with fear? Wondering where God is, wondering why we're going through what we're going through, wondering, God, have you left us? God, have you forsaken us? God, have you left us? But yet Jesus reminded them, I'm going to go away for a little while. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. John 14, be not troubled. I got it taken care of. That's a mountain word, care of. I catch myself every now and then. And then we see here that Jesus said, I've got it taken care of. But yet in the moment, here's the thing. In the moment when Peter and the disciples was in the storm, their hearts and their lives was faced with a fear. And the way I read that, the way I feel that, with a fear that maybe they've never experienced before. How many of you know we've not been in 2020 before? We've not been here before. Me as a pastor, I've tried my dead level best to navigate this thing. And however I felt like I could do it during a particular time, Raymond and I was talking a few weeks ago, talking about future plans. I said, Raymond, I don't make long distant plans no more. I make plans based upon a day-to-day or an event-to-event or week-to-week. And the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. We have to trust God daily. If there's ever been a time that we've got to trust Him, it is right now. I could just imagine Peter as he began to think about that. When Peter asked these words, he said, Lord, and he says this, do you not care? Do you not even give a hoot? You ever heard that before? You don't even care. Look at the condition that we're in. And just like today, we could say, God, look at the condition of the world. Now, I've heard different people say different things prophetically. I've heard different people say different things that may or may not come to pass. I don't know. But don't fall out with me when I get ready to say what I'm getting ready to say. We don't know what's around the corner. I remember hearing this years ago. Danny May, years ago, he said this in a camp meeting, and I've always held on to it. He said, you don't have to worry about the way being cleared when you know the one that clears the way. I remember the little church we planted in Waynesville. We had just a piecemeal of a church and just in an old warehouse, and I had paneling that I scarfed up somewhere and put on the wall. I don't even know where I got it. I took an ink pen and wrote that on the back of that panel in my little makeshift office that said, you don't have to worry about the way being cleared if you know the one that cleared the way. But I don't know what's ahead. And I don't know what lies around the next bend, if you will. And I've heard different preachers and pastors and supposedly prophecy and different things. But I'll say this because I feel this in my spirit. That I do believe that God is still for the church and not against it. I'll get into that later. But here's the thing. Please don't hang up on me when I say what I'm getting ready to say. What has America done with what she's had? In other words, if we've had the total freedom to openly preach the Bible and openly preach the Word of God, and right now we're living in a day and an hour, and it seems like everywhere you turn, more and more and more and more trying to silence the church, trying to dictate and be dictatorial over the airways. That we can't even get on our Facebook page right now. I don't know what we're running on. If we're running on anything, I tried to get on it while I go and couldn't get on. What if we get shut down? What if? Hey, can I tell you something that's going to be good news today in the midst of all the fear that's going on around your life and my life? You ready for this? This is going to be deep. It's going to be really, really deep. So y'all strap your seatbelt and hang on. Here it is. The church existed before Facebook. The church existed before YouTube. The church existed long before any of this media stuff. Hey, maybe it's time for the disciples once more to get out into the highways and the byways and for you and I to be the light that Jesus intended for us to be as we maybe even go knocking on a few doors and let somebody see a smile on your face. Again, when you think about this thing called fear, do you not know that that is one of the enemy's biggest tactics? Is trying to propagate fear into your life and my life and our life today, where that we'll sit on the stool of do nothing and wait as a doomsday prophet for the sky to fall on our head? Henny Penny, you know Henny Penny, the acorn fell on her head, the skies are falling. Is that right? I get these fairy tales all messed up every now and then. But here's the thing. We can't give up on God in the midst of fear. And He said here in the word of the Lord, Again, when the disciples there in the book of Mark, I could turn there. I'm not going to take the time to turn there. But he says there in the book of Mark, he said, Lord, do you not even care that we perish? You don't even give a hoot that we're out here dying? We're getting ready to die? And what are you doing? Anybody ever felt alone? Huh? The enemy's trying to get us to feel that way, to separate us. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm pretty content just doing what I'm doing and being me and just doing my thing. I told her, I said, I don't have to have a great big mob around me. I don't have to have a large group of people around me to make me happy. You know what I mean? Most of us don't. But there's not a person in this room that would say, I enjoy being lonely. Huh? Nobody. Nobody, myself included. But here's the reason. That again, I'm going back into that because it's one of them things where the enemy tried to put fear into them. It's like I've heard it said that the line on the African plain, if you will, you know why he roars? Roar! You know why he roars? A lion's roar can be heard a mile or two away. And the only reason that lion roars, from my understanding of studying this way back yonder, was to strike fear in the mind and the heart of every antelope that's on the plain. Oh, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. We got to make a run for it. We got to figure out what we're going to do when he shows up. And that's where we're at today, because the Bible reminds us just in the scripture that the devil, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That roar, that loud decibel of the lion's roar, is as if it paralyzes the one that he's trying. And again, the devil, as well as the lion, he don't go after the strongest. He don't go for the meatiest, if you will. He looks for the one that's isolated. He looks for the weak. He looks for the one that's the easiest prey, P-R-E-Y. And that's why we need to P-R-A-Y, because we need to stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If we don't, we're in trouble. If there's any time the church needs to pray, it's the day and the hour that we're living in. If we let down now in our prayer life, if we let down now in seeking the face of God, let me tell you something, friend. You're looking at a train wreck. You're looking at a collision that's ahead of your life. Again, when you think about it, it's where the devil, the Bible says, he goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And don't you think, and don't I think, that we're so big britches, if you will, that the enemy's not going to do everything he can to knock you down and to knock you out. Even the Bible teaches us that. That pride cometh before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. And we need to take heed that the man that thinks he stands, take heed lest he slip and lest he fall. So if you're Mr. Big Britches or Miss Sally Big Britches, you need to calm down, because we all need God. We all equally need God. Preacher needs God. The pew needs God. There's no big I's or little U's. I have a job and responsibility that I better do, or God will get another one to do it. Are you okay out here today? Now, why did you say all that? Take it up with the Lord, because I didn't study it. It's just what I feel like God said all of a sudden to me. Say, do this right here, and it'll be okay. Now, here's where I want to turn our attention back for just about 15 minutes or so. Y'all just don't know how I wrestle this thing. Wrestle it. And I've had to totally rethink how I even preach. I don't know why it happens the way it does, Steve. I have no clue. I can't tell you. Used to, it would just be boom, 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 clear as a bell here, this, that. I can show you this notebook right here. I got two messages in there that I prepared thinking this is what I was going to be doing. And the Lord said, no. I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. Sister Betty, I knew it. I just didn't know what it was. I just had to be ready. Something about being instant in season and out of season. I don't know what it is about that, but do you not care? How many times have we said that, Brother Terry? God, I feel like that nobody even cares about me. I feel like I'm alone. I weep myself to sleep. I wake up in the morning and I feel this pressure on my head and I feel this pressure on my chest. I feel the pressure from within. I feel pressure from without. There seems to be no peace. There seems to be no contentment. There seems to be no rest. Is that describing anybody or the world that we're living in today? I live in the real world too, right? I sense it and I feel it. We sense it. I remember Peter, and then I'm going to get into the main thing here in a minute. Excuse me. I remember Paul getting ready to hand a baton to young Timothy. Timothy was one of these timid guys. And Paul told him, and he said, the responsibility is going to land on your shoulder. Paul said, for the time of my departure is not at hand. It's time for me to go on, and it's time for me to fulfill the plan of God and finish up this thing. And Paul said that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but not only me, but all of them that love his appearing. And then Paul challenged Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. And he told him to preach the word, to reprove, to rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And then he goes over, I think it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 1:7, 1 Timothy, I think. But Paul, in his guiding hand to young Timothy, told him these words. And I think this is very, very important where we're at today. Very important. Because he tells him there in verse number 7 of 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 1, she can look at it, but and I can turn to it, but he says these words, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." And how many of us, myself sometimes included, walk around under this dark cloud like an umbrella of woe is me over our head, thinking all kinds of imaginable things, thinking all kinds of things that people are thinking about us, and they're not thinking it about you, you're thinking about yourself. You say, well, preacher, how do you know all this? Because I've been there. I've lived it. I know years ago, Sherry and I had this situation and dealt with people and situations, and you'd look at them wrong. Man, they'd freak out. You're thinking bad things about me. I can tell you are. It's like you're a mind reader. She's even been told by people, I know what you're thinking about me. No, you don't. I told somebody one time, I said, when you think that you know what I'm thinking, you've just made a bad mistake. Because you cannot read my mind. I told somebody that years ago. But here's the thing. We walk around with this big old dark cloud above our head. And then I'm going to say it like I feel it. It's time for the church, just like old Lazarus, to shake off the grave clothes. Go back to John 11. We are the church of the living God. We are not a defeated church. Oh, yeah, the devil's going to come. He's going to growl. He's going to howl. He's going to bark. He's going to be an accuser of the brethren. He's going to lie. He's going to do everything he can to disappoint you, to let you down, to break relationships. He's going to do everything he can to scare you into believing all kinds of stuff. And you know what? For the most part, we fall right into that trap because we're not versed enough in the scripture and spiritual warfare that we fall right into his little old trap. But look at this verse. Say it with me. I want you to say this verse with me. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Hang on. So this means that this thing called fear is a spirit that is evident in the world today, even then in Paul's day, in Timothy's day. There's a spirit that's evident in their life, but yet where does it? It don't come from God. It's not a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith, long-suffering. Against such there is no law. fear hath torments. Torments. There's people in this building that I'm talking to right now that I did not know how what I was going to preach today. You've been tormented in your mind this week. I mean, you've been tormented. You say, well, not me. Well, just throw it over your shoulder to the person behind you because it's not for you. Tormented. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. Here's the thing. I learned this a long time ago, and I've said it in the past. I'm going to say it again. I can tell you in one sentence, and I read it. I read it in preparation for the other two messages I was going to preach today. I can tell you in one sentence how to take care of a lot of things in your life this morning, in my life. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, Abby, go to Ephesians 4 and 27, because this is going to take care of a lot of problems right here this morning. And I'm not no rocket scientist. I couldn't tell you the first thing about it, but I can tell you this right here works. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 little words. 6 little words can change your life. Neither give room, place, residence, place of abode, place to set up his housekeeping. Don't let him. Somebody said, well, preacher, the devil's been riding my back all week long. Somebody said, well, knock the saddle off your back. Quit giving him a place to dwell. Quit giving him a place to sit. And I'm going to tell you something. It all starts in that 6 inches between your ears and my ears. Okay? Neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Quit giving him room. Quit. I mean, I could go into other stuff. I'm not. But yet you can go there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I think it's verses 1, 2, 3 along through there. But this is what the Bible talks about there. It says, casting down every imagination that exalteth itself against the nature of God. If it's not of God, don't receive it. Amen. Cast it down. Get rid of it. Throw it over your shoulder to behind you. And here's the thing. Just because the devil brings it to you, you don't have to own it. You don't have to own it. But fear is one of those things that the enemy's tried to do over the last 8 or 10 months. I've talked to people and they said, I can't even turn the TV on anymore. I can't even listen to the radio anymore. I can't even listen to the news no more. And you know what? That might be a good thing. And you say, well, preacher, are you saying we don't need to be informed about what's going on in our world today? Hey, let me tell you something. Sometimes misinformation or bad information, wrong information, could actually be a blessing if you don't hear it. Huh? It could actually be a blessing to you. Because we need to give heed, the Bible says, unto those things as the Scripture says, giving heed to those things which thou hast learned. Paul, again, talking to Timothy. The things you've learned, the things you know to be the truth. And sometimes, and again, this is greenology, we can get so bombarded with things as Christians that we know that's not of a spiritual value. That if we ain't real careful, we'll take ownership to it. We'll start thinking like the world. We'll start acting like the world. We'll start buying into the philosophies of the world. And again, the Scripture tells me to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, that the love of the Father is not in him. So here's the thing, wrapping all that up. This goes all the way back to what I said in the beginning. And I mentioned this a long time ago, but I really felt like I needed to do it again. This is in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, casting all your care. What is the thing in your life today that's causing you this mountain of anxiety? God, do you not even care? Here's the ways, folks. This is 2020. And we're saying, God, you don't even care. You're asleep. You're asleep. At the back of the ship, his head is on a pillow. And they're going through the storm. And I just simply wanted to say this. Yes, he still cares. He still cares. This word casting means to throw off up onto another. To cast, to throw your cares off onto another. You say, easier said than done, preacher. I'll say amen to that. Sometimes it's most difficult. It's extremely difficult. But he says here in the Word, he says, casting all your care. What is it today? What is it today that seems to be tormenting you? Fear hath torment. What is it today that's keeping you tore up? What is it today that's got your bowels in a knot, so to speak? What is it today that you constantly have this gnawing feeling in the bottom of your stomach? What is it? This is real church, by the way. What is it? What is it? See, that's where I believe in the scripture today, where he talks about we can cast all of our care upon him. Isaiah 53, and I'm going to stay right here for a minute. Isaiah 53 is a reminder. Isaiah 53 gives us a view of the suffering servant some 450 years or so before Jesus ever come to the earth, where the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, wickedness, and the chastisement of our peace. He was chastised for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Peter says we were healed, past tense. If I was an evangelist this morning and had a prayer line, I would be like T.L. Lowry up here, and I'd say, hey, receive your healing today in Jesus' name.
Well, I don't know, preacher, if that's really what that meant or not. I just don't know. I've been in sway condition for so many years. I just don't know anymore. Ask them.
Either we is or we ain't. Either we're Christians or we're not. Even we're believing the Bible. Hey, you know what, Jeff? Either it's 100% real or it's 100% fake. Either they say Jesus was a liar or a lunatic or a Lord. I still believe he's Lord. Amen. Casting all your care. This word care means to transfer all of that off of your shoulder. Can I tell somebody in this room, you've been carrying it too long and you've not even had to carry it. You've taken ownership. I had to do this. I've taken ownership to things in my life. I didn't start it. Wasn't my problem. But the person that I am, I've taken ownership to it. Like I could fix it. Fix it. Fix it. Can I tell it?
No.
Okay, thank you. Y'all are going to think that preacher has lost his ever-loving mind. Had a dream. You told somebody about it?
No, I said, oh, I warned you.
She said, I warned you about it. I had this dream the other morning. And there was this man with a guitar. He had on like an Amish hat, a flat Amish hat, not a black hat, a straw hat. He was just playing a guitar as hard as he could. just hitting that thing as hard as he could. It wasn't Chris. And he said, and he was singing this song that was very off rhythm and very out of key. Flora, thank you for listening to this. And he was singing just as hard as he could sing, and he was saying, God can fix it, fix it, fix it. God can fix it, fix it, fix it. I mean, over and over in this little thing. If there's anything that you can't do, God sure can fix it for you. He can fix it, fix it, fix it. He can fix it. I woke up to that. I'm going, where in the name of the Lord did that come from? He can fix it. I'm going, well, I guess that's my message for the week. God can fix it. I mentioned that a few weeks ago. I thought, how in the world does that happen? But that little guy was just playing that guitar, buddy. If there's anything that you can't do, just remember he can fix it for you. He can fix it, fix it, fix it. He can fix it. Anybody confirm that with me this morning? Thank you very much. Thank you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, look at the latter part of this. Look at this, what he says here. This next verse, he says, he says in verse number 8, be sober, be aware. I knew that'd get your attention. Be alert, be aware. One of the things when we went on mission trips, they've told us, always be aware of your surroundings and your environment. I cannot tell you how many people on mission trips that I know have been pickpocketed. That have their money in their front pocket. And the person in front of them was acting like they were blind, you know? They were back here. They'd drop a t-shirt or they would do something. And when they'd all bump and stop in the traffic, somebody would go, whoop, slip, slip. This friend of mine, Peter, he had $200 taken out of his front pocket that quick. Our old buddy, Don Braswell, had his whole wallet stolen. Boom, just like that pickpocket. I want to serve notice on the pickpocket today, the devil. I'm tired of him pickpocketing you. Tired of him robbing you and tired of him taking from you the things that God said is rightfully yours by the blood of Jesus Christ. That Jesus died for us and he went to the cross for us. That was my whole message of salvation today. That I was going to preach two or three different things today. This is what God says, because your adversary, the devil, he's your adversary. He ain't your buddy. He ain't your bosom pal. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Devour. He ain't your friend. The devil is not your bosom buddy. Going back to that Ephesians 4:27, a man that's gone on to glory now, his name was Buford Birchfield. He said, son, I can tell you how to get shed of the devil. I said, okay, all righty. That's what I've been waiting on all my life. Neither give place to him. Quit entertaining him. Quit entertaining the things that are tearing you down. Quit entertaining the things that's tearing your spiritual life, your spiritual man apart. Don't it say there in the book of Hebrews chapter 12? Verse 1, I think it's verse 2, but he says, looking unto Jesus, looking unto him, fear, lions, bears, tigers, oh no. That's the way the enemy is. He's trying to do everything he can. And let me just gracefully say this right now. With all due respect and the love of Jesus that I can muster up, I know we have to be careful right now. I know that. But the church don't have to die right now. But Lord, if you would have only been here, our brother Lazarus, he would not have died. He wouldn't have died. Yes, he would have. Jesus allowed Lazarus to die for the people to see that he is the resurrection and the life. And I believe with everything within me that for the last several months, the church has been in the the greatest time of testing that all of us have ever lived through. I don't want to fail the final exam before the teacher shows up. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. Do you want to be faithful?
Yes.
I want to be faithful. I want the church to continue to be the church. I don't want you to fall into this Ruby, is it Ruby Spare agony on me? Whoa! Are you with me, Chris? oh, hee-haw thing, you know? Oh, Junior Samples and them guys, that Archie Bunker, or not Bunker, Archie Campbell. Ruby! Doom and gloom. Anybody felt that way over the last several months that would be honest enough to say, well, the rest of you, it's coming if you ain't felt it already. It'll be that you might be the next one in line. I don't know, but I felt that way. I felt that way. I'm not done. Just sort of winding down. Now, the rest of this scripture here, you can look at it later. But here's one of the things that I wanted to just share really, really fast. Really fast. This is in Matthew chapter 7. And this is very important that we hear this, because all of this flows together about overcoming fear with faith. The devil's going to use every tactic that he can. Whatever it is. What he comes at me with may not be what he comes at you with. But he will come. Even the Bible says in the book of James, it's the trying of your faith. Man, our faith has been tried on every hand. Matthew chapter number 7, look in verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Somebody say that with me. Doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. I believe this. I believe this with everything within me. I believe that we're living in the day and the hour that, and I don't even want to say this the way I feel it, because I don't know exactly what it means in descriptive terms. But only the strong Christians are the ones that's going to make it right now. I don't even know how to articulate exactly what that may mean, other than the fact that those that are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, if somebody's playing church or just sort of going through some sort of spiritual calisthenics, if you will, hey, friend, look at here. Danger is in your path and the road in front of you. I promise you, if you're not connected to the vine, John 15, you will get severed from the vine. I promise you. Many will have the form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. It's going to take somebody that's sold out to Jesus to make it in the day and the hour that is ahead of us. He said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Look what he said. The floods came. You're going to go through storms. The winds blew. You're going to go through storms. And again, it beat upon the house, and it fell not. Jesus talking about the system of Judaism and how that it was built upon a religious foundation only, and not him. As he told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Maybe our anxiety has escalated once again because we've kindly moved away from the rock. Maybe the church has grown weary and cold, if you will, in well-doing. He's coming back for a pure bride. He's coming back for a church that's looking for Him, a church that's prepared herself, adorned as a bride for her husband. If people don't have the desire to love Jesus and the desire to come to church, they're come to church because they know it's the thing to do, or it's a forced will upon them. I don't want to say it the way I feel it. But if that's your connection to the church, is because you're made to do it, or you just feel like that, maybe it soothes your conscience a little bit. The way I feel it in my heart is there impending danger in front of you. Because when the winds come and the waves come and the troubles come and persecution comes, you're going to cave in and give in. You're not going to stand. And if there's anything that we need to do according to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, he says, when you've done all to stand, he says, stand. In other words, can take your position and stand there. Don't waver. Well, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that the storms is coming? How many of you feel like you've been through a storm in 2020? We've all been in a storm. But the church don't have to die in the storm. Are you with me? We do not have to surrender in the storm. We don't have to take our head and hide our head in the sand during the storm. God said, if I be for you, then who shall be against you? He says there in the Word of God, he says in 1 John 4 and 4, I believe it is, he says, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. There's a victory in you. There's a power in us that the world knows not of. They don't know why we're continuing to have church, why we continue to do the things that we're doing. And yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. There are those that would snuff the church out in a heartbeat, shut the church down in a heartbeat. Shut her down. We don't want to hear anything else about your Jesus. We don't want to hear anything about your Savior. We don't want to hear anything about that. Second person here in this text is simply this. Never one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not will be filled with anxiety and fear. Their life will be filled with torment and undecision. Your nerves will stay tore up all the time. You'll have that gut-wrenching feeling in your gut from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You're going to be filled with this stuff. Jesus said, if you know me, it's going to be all right. I got it. He's got it. Look at your neighbor and say, he's got it. He's got it. To everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. What do you build on? What are you building on? And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell. It fell. It fell. According to an article that I read and what I was going to get into, my goodness, where did time go? There has been articles and there has been pens that's already been penned that the year of anger, that was one of the messages that I prepared. The year of anger, 2020. Has anybody kind of felt like you've been a little bit more angry this year? Article that I read and stuff I was reading said that the year 2020 Are you with me? I'll let you go in a minute, I promise. And then you can take the night off. I'll do a devotion with you tonight. But the year 2020 has been the angriest year in the last 150 years in this particular article. And it's the truth. You can look at somebody today and they'll say, "What are you looking at?" Just on the nerves, just nerves. Just somebody says, "You're getting on my last nerve, preacher." That's kind of the way we are, right? And if we don't get founded upon the rock, Jesus, he said, "Great was the fall of it." Now, I'm done after this one. In that scripture, in the scripture that I just read to you, this is what we've got to do. This is what we've got to do in the day and the hour that we are living in. Look again in 1 Peter chapter 5 and then verse number 9. Whom, speaking of the devil, resist steadfast in the faith. Don't be wavering. Hold on to him. I'm going to say it the way I feel it. Don't lose your smile in the midst of the fear. They say it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. I've never researched that. Sometimes you can change somebody's environment with a kind word and a smile. Just being kind to somebody. Just allowing them to get in front of you in the line at your favorite shopping place. Just be kind to somebody. You say, "Well, they ain't kind to me. I ain't being kind to nobody." What's your problem? You need to get saved. You need to get right with God. Did I say that? Sorry. If the church if the church steps aside, and if we lose our savor, it is henceforth good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of man. And you know what? There's a lot of people right now that need what you got in this room this morning. Because this old world is filled with anxiety. This old world is filled with fear. I don't know the words to it. I'd have to let Martha find the words to it. She's the word person, not me. Martha, it's that old song that says, "Take this whole world, but just give me Jesus." Stand with me. You can have this whole world and all of its riches. Hey, you know what? He said in this word, resist the enemy. When those demonic powers come and those attacks from the devil come, you just stand upon your feet. You throw your head up in the air. Look him straight in the eye and say, "Not today, devil." Come a little bit too late to pick on this one, because I know who Jesus is. I know him. I just don't know about him. I know him. So today, if you come into this building as all of us did, if we were truly honest today, if we really were truly honest today, I'd say we all had just a little bit of anxiety in us, wouldn't you? Just a little bit. But aren't you glad that we've got a loving Savior that died on the cross? And here's the greatest thing about it. He never intended for you to carry it. Huh? If man could fix it, if man could do it, we wouldn't need Jesus. And you know what? Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross for our transgressions and for our sins. Well, how great a salvation. How great a salvation. We're getting ready to enter into the Christmas season. I pray that God just shows up. And everything that is proposed to bring you worry and to bring you fear and to bring you isolation and to bring you loneliness, all of those things, I call it null and void in the face of the resurrected Lord. And Jesus said that I am come that you might have life. I'm praying that God would transpose us. As the scripture says, change us from glory to glory. Make us more into the person that He wants us to be. I love you. I care about you. I miss you. I want to be around you a whole lot more than we are right now. A whole lot more. But you know what? Brother Steve, we can always smile at each other. If you got each other's text messages, just text somebody and say, I love you. I'm thinking of you. Praying for you. Amen. Let's encourage one another. Because folks, look around you. Look around you today. This is all we've got. We've got each other. Amen. We've got each other. And don't let anything change that. Amen. Father, we love you today, and we praise you, and we thank you, God, for your word. For your word will not return void. But God, Jesus rose up from the pillow, and he rebuked the winds. He rebuked whatever it was in their life that was troubling them. And today, Jesus rise up and rebuked the wind in people's life and rebuked the storm in people's lives. And just rebuke the pain and rebuke the torment of the enemy. And Father, in this season of what seems to be anxiety, Lord, let us not fall prey to the tactics of the enemy. But let us, as the Bible says, be as wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Let us be the church. Let us put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Father, even though the enemy shall come in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord God would raise up a standard against him. And God, nothing shall be able to hurt us or harm us or overcome us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you today. We honor you and we praise you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. If you're troubled today, the Bible says just take that trouble and give it to the Lord. Because he died for you and he cares for you. God bless you.